So what difference does it make whether or not someone understands this concept?
Okay, I think it makes a huge difference. Let me take it back to even as simple a thing as the area of conversion. Okay, a person doesn't have the option of saying, I realize that I have been disobedient to your will a lot of times. You say that we're supposed to live loving you and loving others. I haven't lived that way. I've ignored you for the most part in terms of my life, and I have certain people I like and a lot of people I don't like. So I've violated your will. So I've sinned. Sin means I've missed the mark, okay? So you don't have the option at conversion to say, okay, I really like the idea, God, of you coming into my life and forgiving my sins, but I don't like the idea of me being obedient to your will. So if it's all right with you, I want to be a part of your kingdom with the sin forgiveness area, but I don't like the obedience part. I would still like to skip church because I enjoy having my Sundays free, and I still want to have bad feelings toward Ralph because Ralph is a pain in the seat, okay? So if you would accept me on that basis, I would like to be converted, and I would like to be a part of your kingdom. Well, that's asinine, what I just said. You know, God's going to say, who do you think you are? You know, I happen to be the king, and I establish the rules. But that's where a lot of people are, because you hear people say, if you will just say, I repent of my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart, you will be a part of the kingdom. Well, that's true, and it's not true. It's truncated. Basically, in fact, I'm working with this gentleman I've told you about, and I've said to him, you've said to me you want to be a Christian. And I have asked you, what does that mean? And you said, that would be a nice person, because the Christians you met are nice people. But being a Christian is more than being a nice person. And you're going to have to decide whether you want to give God the place in your life that he wants. And whether it's out of ignorance or whether it's because you weren't raised that way or whatever, you basically have ignored him all your life. I don't know how you turned out to be such a good person, because you're a very fine person, but as far as your relationship to God, it's like he doesn't exist. So you have to decide whether you want to be a part of church or not, or whether you just say, I've been without church all my life, I don't want to go to church. You know, so that's a part of you bowing your knee to Jesus. I could say to him, all you need to do is say, I'm sorry for my sin, and I want you to come into my heart. I don't think that's the right thing to say to him, because I think the decision is more important than that, because it relates to the whole of Jesus' message about being a part of the kingdom of God. Does that make sense?
Yes, especially when we think in terms of receiving Christ is a life-transforming experience where mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. Our responsibility is we have to bend our will to God. We have to bend mm-hmm. our will to Christ. Or I often think of the image of the knights back at the time of the Round Table. They would bend their knee in fealty to the king. It was a symbol of their obedience to his wishes. And they had no thought of their own wishes. They were there to serve the king. And that's really the relationship we have with God. When mm-hmm. when he has invited us into his kingdom, and we become we move from creatures to children, and we become part of the kingdom of God, then we have this responsibility and privilege, actually, to be obedient to his will, not to our will.
Yeah, now sometimes people become a part of the kingdom unaware of that. I'm a case in point. See, all I know is that I heard very strong preaching and that I had sinned and I was going to go to hell. And that scared the daylights out of me. And Jesus was my escape route. And if I would ask Jesus to come into my heart, he would. And I did that. And I have no question but what Christ entered my life by means of his Spirit, and I became a changed person. However, that set me up for an awful lot of problems, because I thought I then had the option of deciding how obedient I wanted to be. You know, and I would have been better off if in the long run somebody had explained the whole thing to me, because I had this feeling of, you know, you didn't tell me the whole deal. Now you got some caveats here that I didn't know about, and I'm not sure I would have made that decision. Well, you know, in the long run, it all turned out well, because I never heard of the kingdom of God before I became a Christian. In fact, I never heard of the term until I got to college. I went to Wheaton College, and the motto of the college was for Christ and his kingdom. And I said, what in the world is the kingdom? I don't understand that. You know, so I was naive, and still I was in God's gracious response to me, knowing my desperation, he entered me and changed me. And there are a lot of people like that. But at the same time, you feel like, man, I wish I'd known the whole ball of wax. I'd have saved myself a lot of heartbreaks.
Yeah, and it's important for listeners to understand, it wasn't that you came to Christ as a college student. You were brought up in the church in a Christian home.
Yes.
And introduced to Christ as a very small child. It's just that this concept of the kingdom of God had not been emphasized at any point along the way.
Mm-mm. No, it was totally foreign to me until my college years.
Why do you suppose the kingdom of God isn't explained more often?
I don't know the answer to that, because I like the concept. You know, Jesus says, okay, when did you have a king who ever cared for you when you're taken advantage of? Well, now you got a new king who does that. When did you find a king? Was Herod the kind of guy when you mourned, he was there to put his arm around you and say, I'm sorry that's happened, you know, and comforted you? Comfort is part of my specialty area. You know, I'm very good at that. This is a whole new kingship you never heard anything about. It's going to be noticed in full when we move into the next world, but you can live in the reality of that next world now. It makes so much sense to me. I don't know. In my background, I'm grateful for my background, but I feel like somewhere it all became understandable when I got to college. Mm-hmm. And I understood the kingdom. And I probably at that point in time could have said, you know what, I understand it all now, and I think I'm going to renege. And I think the Lord would have said, okay, you renege at your own cost, you know. I don't know what he would have said. In my own life, it had been meaningful enough to me that I absorbed the new understanding. But I'm glad I'm not where I used to be. So why isn't it explained more? I don't know. I've been in churches many times, and I've very seldom heard anybody present Jesus' basic message in the context of what he preached, which was the kingdom of God.
Well, I at least am very grateful that your life affirms where the scripture says, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day that Christ returns.
Okay, I like that.
You didn't get a chance to renege. The good work that was formed in you, the presence of the Holy Spirit, continued you in the faith through college and all these many years. And I'm grateful, and I'm sure our listeners are grateful that that's the case. Where do we go next in our next podcast?
Well, I'm going to introduce kind of a new topic, and this is the area of feedback from those who listen to our preaching and letting that be useful to us and beneficial, making us better preachers as opposed to raising the hackles, and so we're kind of saying, who would dare say such a thing regarding my preaching? So it's the whole area of critiquing, okay?
Very good. We invite you to join us next time. We also invite you, as we always do, to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. Dr. David Maines has been talking with me today of helping pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we've also been talking about preparation for services and helping visitors feel welcome in the church in a variety of subjects that we hope will be of interest to pastors. So come back again and join us, and we'll look for you at that time.